I don't have my lapel mic tonight, and so you'll have to listen to me another way. Take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. You've noticed, some of you, our list of missionaries on the back of our Wednesday prayer sheet, and there's a list of 5, 6, or 7, or 8 that have served God for many years, and then it lists them under the category of retired but not idle. Retired but not idle. Sadly, many folks are idle and they're not retired. Others are retired, sadly, and they are idle. Somehow that we think that the most important time of our lives where we can bring the most fruit and is sometime between the ages of, say, 25 and 55. And after that, well, it's my time. It's my time. The fact of the matter is the Lord has called us to be faithful all of our lives, not just in the prime of our lives. You may have noticed, as I have also noticed, that often people who are retired and doing nothing except living for themselves are not very happy. And people who retire and who live for others and for the Lord, they are joyful. There's something to that. I remember Reed Eby telling me that he used to have folks come to the Ford garage to get their RV fixed. And he said that a lot of them, they'd always have a little dog with them. And they'd always be in a hurry to get to Oklahoma and had to get it fixed right away so they can get going. I suspect that a lot of those people are not happy. Their lives are just wrapped around themselves, and that's it. Think of it. When do we have the most experience, the most wisdom, the most common sense? At 25? 35? 45? 55? Think about it. Think about it. 55 and above, 65, 75, what? Why should we not use that wisdom, that experience, that sense that we have been able to gather over the years, biblical sense, why should we not use it for the Lord? Tonight we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament that used his youth and his old age for the glory of God. His name is Caleb. His name is Caleb. The first time we meet this guy, he is with the people of Israel. They're camped at Kadesh Barnea. And it's only been about a year since they got out of the promised, out of Egypt. They've been wandering around during that time. God has given to them the law and a lot of the laws of the land, the book, you know, a lot of what's in the book of Deuteronomy and so on. They've got the Ten Commandments. They had some rough spots, you know, the golden calf. They've built the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, and all of this has gone on. And then we get to chapter 13 and verse 1 of the book of Numbers. And here, they get a commission to go out and to do reconnaissance. Now, you know what reconnaissance is. That's where you send a few troops out ahead of time to spy out the enemy, see where they are, see what it's all like, and so on like that. 13 verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Every tribe of the fathers ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. So there are 12 tribes of Israel, and you can see a list here in verses 4 through 16. It lists the tribes, and then it lists the individual from those tribes that is to be the representative of that tribe to go out and spy out the land, because they're going to divide up the land. And so a representative from each tribe needs to be there so that it can be done righteously and all that sort of thing. So in verse 17, Moses sends them out to spy the land of Canaan, and he says to them, get you up this way southward, go up to the mountain, and see the land. See the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they should dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be to dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. God wanted them to bring back fruit as an encouragement so people could say, look at this stuff, look at this. So in these verses, they have the commission to go to do the reconnaissance. Caleb and 11 of his peers go out. They travel for some 40 days, hundreds of miles, up and down the land of Canaan there, spying things out, looking things over. These 12 men are 12 out of, say, some over 500,000 people that are qualified to fight in battle. They are chosen people for this particular task. Caleb is one of these men. Verse 21, their reconnaissance is complete. It says, they went up, searched the land from the wilderness of Sin into Rehob as men come to Hamath, and it gives their whole route there. And in verse 25 says, they return from searching of the land after 40 days. Then they give the report. This is the reconnaissance report. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. They told them that we came into the land whither thou sentest, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. They had a great big glob of grapes, and you know, they'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, probably no grapes out there, and here's these great big juicy grapes that they brought back. Man, these are big things. And he goes on to say, verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Okay. The cities that are walled and are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the otherites. Oh my, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the land of Jordan. And they're all starting to get into a little bit of a stew. And this gentleman named Caleb, who is about 40 or so years old, he stills the people before Moses. All right, just listen to the preacher for a while. Will you be quiet? Just listen. Shh. And he uses his leadership position and his energies and says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. And there we saw the giant sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They come back with a negative report. You know what? Negative stuff spreads a lot quicker than positive stuff. You know that? It just really does. And once one person speaks something negative, it starts a chain reaction, and it is a foul thing. It is a bad thing. And so verse 1 of the next chapter, all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation, would to God that we died. Why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? Now that's an awful dumb thing to say. You stop and think about that. They came through the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They saw God bring bread from heaven. They saw all kinds of things like that. Oh, I wish we had died back in Egypt. What's the matter with those people anyhow? Well, verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? They're trying to pick some more leadership. Let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. I'm sure whatever's left of Pharaoh would be happy to see them over there in Egypt, you know. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes, they rent their clothes. It was a sign of great grief and sorrow, of either of sin or sadness of some kind. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us unto this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear. Verse 10. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. How sad that is. God saw all of that. It's interesting, these guys that went out to survey the land, they saw the fruit, but they saw the fight. The 10 spies measured the grapes and the giants. The 2 spies also measured the grapes and the giants, but there was a difference. The 10 spies measured the giants against themselves and what they looked like, but the 2 spies measured the giants by God Almighty. They rebelled. They rebelled. God said, I'm going to destroy the whole bunch. I'm sort of giving you a synopsis of the story here in chapter 14. Moses intercedes for Israel, one of those times when you just see a man of God begging God for a group of people because of the glory of God. God says, I will not destroy them, but there are going to be some consequences. Chapter 14, verse 22. 14, verse 22. But all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and followeth me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein into he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow you turn, you get you out of the wilderness by the Red Sea. God says, all right, you're going to have to take a 40-year detour. Well, at that time, the congregation gets kind of upset. Oh, we changed our mind. We would like to go ahead and go. He warns them about it. Don't do that, don't do that. They say, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. The result is they go in and they get stomped. And then they have to leave, and then there's 40 years that go by. 40 years later now, 40 years later, there are only 2 adults left from all of those other adults that willfully rebelled against God and said, God's not powerful enough to help us to do what we need to do. Only 2 out of some 600,000, Joshua and Caleb. Turn to the book of Joshua now. I want you to take a look at this. Joshua chapter 14. There's been the private funeral of Moses. Joshua is now the leader. But there's still an old guy that is serving the Lord. His name is Caleb. Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. These are the countries. What I'll just say about this, what they did is they had a military campaign that lasted maybe 5-10 years, don't know for sure. And some of the men, the fighting men, would go to fight while others stayed home and did farming and building, and then they would trade off, and these guys would fight and these guys would go back. It was sort of a thing that was going on, work and war at the same time. Verse 1 of chapter 14, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save the cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and their substance. And then it says here in verse 5, the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided up the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and here's that old guy Caleb. He is 85 some years old now, still believing and still serving God. And he says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He's talking about, remember 40 years ago? Remember? 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again. It was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely, he made a promise, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden, that's going to be your inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Now, this is Caleb talking here. As he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 1 year younger than Pastor Henry is now. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And then he says these words, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord says. Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Now, question, why did he want that particular mountain? I like what one pastor teacher said about this. Why Hebron? The Hebron district, especially around the great tree of Mamre, had been the home of Abraham for many years. And there, he purchased the cave of Machpelah for a burial place. Caleb and the other spies had walked hundreds of miles up northernmost part of Canaan and back again. His feet went all over the country, and of all of Palestine that could have been his, why did he pick Hebron? And then this guy, and I kind of agree with him, he said, I think he wanted Hebron because there were the Anakite giants that had so terrified his fellow scouts some 40 years before. We looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. They whimpered. Bring them on, says Caleb. Here's this old guy, 85 years old. Make my day. That's what he's saying. They're no match for the Lord, they said some 40 years ago. Now he has a chance to prove as a leader of Judah. The giants represent the enemies of the conquest, and Caleb is ready to go. It's interesting that here's a man who could have just settled down as an older gentleman and let somebody else do everything, and instead he said, let's roll. He said, let's get with it. He said, let's go. I want this mountain. This is the mountain that 40 years ago did not bring glory to God because of people's unbelief. I want this mountain. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. You may be 60 or 70 or 80. You ought, as a believer, to be looking for the mountain that God wants you to have in your life. You ought to be saying, God, give me something to do. Don't let me just sort of waste away with nothing. God, give to me this mountain. Caleb was that way. What a blessing. His focus was on God. And because of that, God used him and used him and used him and used him. And when he could have retired many times over, he was still serving God. Now, this teenager is saying, what's this for? This ain't for me tonight, that's for sure. Yes, it is, because he served when he was young. If you serve when you're young, more likely you're going to be serving when you're older. What a blessing it is. How sad it is when people wait until they're 25, 35, 45 to really get right with God and then serve him. They got all this mess and wake of nonsense and foolishness and wasted years and regrets and all that behind them. And then they get up and they serve, and they serve with joy and blessing, but they don't serve in the same way that somebody like Caleb could serve. I want to encourage the young folks here, serve and love God while you're young. I want to encourage the old folks here, the older folks. You know, I thought I was kind of getting old. I'm 61. But would you think about this for just a moment? I'm 61, and Pastor Henry started in the ministry before I was born. Think about that. What a blessing that is. We sang about God's faithfulness. God is faithful to us if we'll just obey him. And even when we disobey, he's faithful to love us and chasten us. But he helps us. He equips us. He gives us joy. He gives us blessing. And what a tragedy it is. What a sad thing it is for people to get old and just to be sort of grumped. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here. I'm going to go to church today, see if I can find somebody to rebuke. You know? I'm going to go be nasty to somebody. Why don't you stay home, for crying out loud? You know? No, let me go to church. Let me reach out to somebody. Might be a visitor, might be a teenager. Can't talk to those teenagers. They're strange. There's nothing wrong with them at all. They're a lot better than you were when you were a teenager, probably. You know? So meet one of them. Talk to them. Minister to them. Love the boys and girls in this church. Come to prayer meeting. Pray. Do all that stuff. Has God given you these years so you can sit at home and go, bring me another glass of iced tea, Mabel? Is that why God, that's not why God gave you age. God gave you age for purpose. And he wants you to see that for the glory of God. We're not going to turn to it, but in the book of Hebrews, this incident is referred to when they turned away, even after they saw the great blessing of what they could have. They turned away. It's called the day of provocation. He said, don't harden your hearts. Don't let sin deceive you that way. Don't be like all that. Those hundreds of thousands of people, every single one of them died in the wilderness. Remember, we figured it out one time. Funeral director's paradise. You divide that over 40 years, all those people, about 17 funerals a day. Man, was he making the money, I tell you what. Listen, but the children that they were worried about, the children were the ones that got into the promised land. Ha. God knows. God knows. God understands and God loves. Let me encourage you with this old guy, Caleb. Give me this mountain. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the testimony of this man, Caleb. Thank you for your great goodness to him, for your great goodness to us. We ask you, Lord, to help us to look for that mountain, to look for that ministry, to look for that opportunity. Don't let us waste away, sort of dissolve into mediocrity. God, deliver us from that horrible end. But may we run well and be faithful. We thank you, Lord, for the example of many in this fellowship who've done that. And particularly tonight, we thank you for the Henrys and how you've blessed them with health and strength. Thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to give honor to the Lord for their ministry and life and faithfulness. Challenge us to be Calebs, we pray in Jesus' name.